This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you're listening to Bicycle Talk. Today is April 6th, 2020, although this show will be broadcast on WHUS Radio on April 8th. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Peace.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live, hello, Facebook Live, here we are. you can email us at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can also make a comment on Facebook, and we will be able to answer that. Fran has the computer screen here in front of her too, and she can answer any questions you might have or any comments you may have. Thanks so much for listening. We are recording our shows now on Mondays, now using Facebook Live, and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM. We will do this until we are allowed back in the studio at the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. Oh, God, it's COVID-19 again? Yeah, it's still here. Here we are. This is where we're at right now. This is what we're dealing with. I'm not happy about it. I don't think anybody's happy about it. But anyway, we're going to try to reflect on that a little bit further into the show. So just so you don't forget, I had to bring this up. I am in a lot of little loops here as far as pedestrian and bicycles go. And one of the things that I found and someone had sent to me is this is information from Real Hartford and Beyond, a person by the name of Carrie Provost. And we're losing lives with COVID, but we're still losing lives to pedestrians and bicyclists being hit by cars. So I'm not really sure why this keeps happening. I'm not really sure why people don't pay attention when they drive their car. Come on, just pay attention. That's all. Turn the phone off. You know, listen to whatever you have to listen to without looking at it. That's okay. That's a good thing to do. But this has really become a problem. And there's a bunch of pedestrians that have lost their life in the month of March right here in Connecticut because they were hit by automobiles. Some were hit and runs, some were not. But the point is that people are really stressed out right now. They're not paying attention, and you need to be like super, super alert right now. So just please be careful. And let's not discount the fact that, you know, people are getting hurt or injured or dying in other ways. And, you know, it's just motor vehicles they're dangerous weapons. They're really dangerous weapons. And everyone can drive an automobile. You don't have to do anything special, and you can get a driver's license and you can drive a motorized vehicle, and yes, you have to go through some driver training and all that, but once you do it, you've got it for life and you never have to get retrained. So there's a problem there, but we won't get into that right now. I just want to remind people that there are other things that are out there that are killing people right now. And, you know, it's, you know, now that we're so many of us are out on the roads, keep your head up. Heads up, as I like to say when I'm riding my bike with people. So anyway, 90 people on the average are killed as a result of motor vehicle crashes every single day in the United States, by the way. So just so you know that, I just wanted to pass that little piece on, and then I am going to move to the positive side. On a positive side, people are out riding their bikes. This is a great thing. It's wonderful. People are out riding their bikes. Fran and I went for this awesome ride yesterday. We went out, we rode 37 miles. We saw a bunch of people out working in their yards. We saw kids on bikes. We saw all sorts of cool stuff going on. People are out. This is great. It's great. Yes, they are keeping their distance, but they are out. So that's a good thing. So I put together the 10 positive things about the quarantine, okay, and the COVID-19. Because we got to turn it into a positive somehow. Starting with number 10, more time for some of us to ride. That's a good thing, right? Number 9, the roads are quiet. Number 8, home maintenance projects are getting completed. Can't ride your bike all day, you know. So, home bicycle projects are getting completed. Every house, that was number 7. Number 6, every household has become its own cottage industry. That's a kind of a neat thing. And I've left my mask somewhere else. So I have this great mask that our bicycle riding friends has in full production. Fran's got a few of these here because people are just sliding them over in her direction. They know she's in healthcare and they know that she is seeing people every day. And so she's out and about. So
I have 2 here. Let me show you the one that my friend Ginger made me.
Okay, stick your face
really
over
cute.
Here. Hi, Ginger, if you're listening or watching.
How beautiful is this? I mean, it's like she knew what kind of fabric I would like, and she made just like a total happy, pinky, orangey, cheery mask for me. And then Ron, she didn't come with a nose pincher, and she made some with nose pinchers and some without.
But so I figured out a way to put them in.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bicycle guy.
So what did you do?
Very simple. I took a paper clip. And I actually used a coated paper clip.
Show them.
And the coated paper clip was, let's see if we can see this. Coated paper clip was inserted between the seams at the very top of the mask. So it stays in place. And then you can bend it and configure it to your nose,
yeah.
Which is really cool. So
yeah.
It gives you some definition to your mask, gives you the ability to pinch it nice and close, which helps a little bit more, especially if you are someone who wears glasses.
Yes.
And if you wear glasses, the air comes up and goes in and fogs your glasses all the time. So if you can keep that a little bit closer so that the air is going out another way, then it definitely helps out.
Now,
so things that we're discovering.
Check this one out.
And then
goodness.
Yeah,
this one was made for me. That one was made for me, but this is also made for me too. This is made by my sister-in-law, Kathy.
Okay, you got to bring your face in here.
How beautiful is this? It used to be a sarong from Hawaii. It does need the nose pincher, so Ron's going to add that later. But look how beautiful this fabric is. Is this insane? Like, again, pink, flowers, orange colors.
Right.
So me.
And she did a double thickness cotton
inside.
Yeah, so check this out. So that's what you're looking for.
She put neon pink on the inside, so it's double. How beautiful is this? Like, okay. I mean, these. If I have to wear a mask, I'm good. These are just gorgeous and awesome.
They're very Fran-like.
Yes.
Believe me.
So
this is the girl of pink.
So you're going to go ahead and put a paper clip in this one too.
Yeah, I'll take care of that. So anyway, that's the cottage industry. So number 6, every household has become its own cottage industry. Very cool. And I know that Kathy is also donating. She is making them in mass right now, and she's donating them to our local soup kitchen. What a great idea. You know, think outside of the box here a little bit, folks, because there's so many things you can do. So number 6, every household becomes its own cottage industry. Number 5, families are spending more time together. How about that? They are. They really are. We see families out for hikes. We see families out riding their bicycles. We see families that are just out in the yard and playing with one another. Kids playing with their parents. You know, maybe if you've got, you know, a partnership situation, you'll see the partners are outside and they're doing things together. People are spending more time together in really, really positive ways. And that's what we need right now. We need positive. Positive is what it's all about. That's what works for us right now. So families are spending more times together on their bicycles. Very, very cool. Kids on bicycles. You hear me say it. Every week, I am such a promoter of kids on bikes. I want every kid to remember what it was like when they were younger to ride a bicycle. Actually, I don't want them to ever forget. I want them to continue to ride their bike on into their adult years. And that's really what we're looking for here. We're looking to, to promote cycling as a lifestyle from day one. This is how you get it set in stone. This is the way it was with me. The one thing I wanted more than anything else when I was little, when I was young, it wasn't a puppy. It was a bicycle. I wanted a bicycle. That's what I wanted, because the bicycle gave me that freedom and that wonderful ability to just get out and go wherever I needed to go. It's just a wonderful thing. I could pretend I was flying a rocket and be on my bicycle. You know, your imagination just runs wild when you're a kid and you're out having good times. If you see anybody riding their bicycles with their kids. Thank the parents for getting their kids out and riding the bicycles. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. So anyway, kids on bikes. The bicycle, number three on my list, is the bicycle has become a tool of transportation. Well, glory be. Isn't this a wonderful thing? If you take a look at this, more people are starting to understand that, you know, I got to run out to the store, or I want to run over to a friend's house to drop off these masks that I just made, and I'm going to put them in their mailbox. I'm going to ride my bike there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to drive the car. I'm going to ride my bicycle there. That's a beautiful thing. So people are actually using their bicycles as a tool of transportation. What does this mean? After this is all over, because there is an end here at some time, I can't tell you when that'll be, but once it's all over, what you're going to see is people are going to start rethinking the use of their bicycle. And I think it's going to be a really, really positive, positive thing. So that's a cool thing. That's number three on my list. Number two on my list, people are discovering fitness. Okay, fitness is something that Fran and I have been promoting for years. Fran promotes it in her practice. She practices what she preaches. She is an avid cyclist. She gets out on her bike all the time. She probably is more of an avid cyclist than even I am, because she's a little more
disciplined.
That's the word, disciplined, yes, than I am. But walk the walk, talk the talk. Get everybody involved. If your neighbors aren't out riding their bicycles, ask them if they have a bike in the garage that they might want you to look over. And you're a bicycle person. You probably have a pump. You probably have some lubrication you can put onto that chain if it's looking pretty sad. Get your friends out on bicycles and, give them this proper space. Do it right. Bring wipes. Wipe the bike down after you've touched it so you're not in any way leaving anything behind that might be foreign to them. You know, there are ways of doing this, but people are discovering fitness. It's not my number one, because I thought about it and that was going to be my number one on my top 10 list. My number one is people are generally nicer. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. There's still some grumpies out there. And I know they're going to be grumpy, but they're probably grumpy when they're not dealing with this. But there are going to be a lot more people that when you do see them, they're really, really happy to see you, because it's like social interaction. They get to talk to somebody. They get to see a face that's not hers. Yeah, that's you, Fran. I was just pointing at you. So, not that I don't love her face. I love her dearly. But the fact is, I see it a lot now. And you know what I'm talking about. You definitely know. So people are generally nicer. My top number one of the 10 positive things that happened since the quarantine and since COVID-19. So you got to turn it around. You always have to turn it around. The maintenance minute. I posted this on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. If you haven't seen it yet, you want to check it out. It was a repeat post that came through my bicycling magazine feed. And it was, if any of you are into late night shows, there is one with Stephen Colbert, who is a character for sure. And he's still doing his show, but he's also posting other videos. And one of the videos he posted was that he was sitting at home, bored. He wanted to ride his bike. And he had this lovely bike, and it had a flat tire. So he, of course, videoed the whole thing. And he videoed, Colbert, he should know how to change a flat. Like Colbert, you should know how to change a flat, especially before heading out on a solo ride in this time of social distancing. So anyway, it's posted on my Bicycle Talk Facebook page. It is my maintenance minute. It will add some humor into your life, because Stephen is definitely a very, very funny guy. He's got a mountain bicycle that he has to take the rear wheel off of a bike with not only a derailleur, which a lot of us have on our bikes, unless you're a single speed person, but also it has a disc brake. So there is, as you know, if you were, just think back about the first time you ever did this, or maybe you have never done this and this is something new for you. I don't know, but you know, learn how to change your flat tire, because you know, if you get out there and start riding, you need to know how to do this. So anyway, it's very funny. It's Stephen Colbert and he wants to ride his bike, but first he has to fix the flat. It's really funny. So check that out. And what we need right now is a lot more humor in our lives. So anyway, Stephen Colbert learning how to ride how to fix a flat is good. It's right from his garage. It's very funny. And I encourage you listening to it. That's my maintenance minute. And Stephen will show you how to change a flat tire. He does do some things wrong. I saw a screwdriver involved. But, you know, we won't get into that right now. That's not really what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about other things. So on to the show. I want to talk a little bit more about this whole social distancing thing. I'm done with it. Okay. Not that I'm going to go out and start hugging people. Not that I'm going to go out there and get closer than 6 feet from them. I'm not talking about that at all. I will continue to be physically distanced from people because that is what we're supposed to do. But for my mental health, because I'm a people person and I like people, I actually love people. People are great and they're interesting and you know, we're getting disconnected from that. And I don't like that. I don't want to see that. I don't like that at all. So let's aim for physical rather than social distancing. I'm going to call it social interaction and physical distancing. Hashtag SIPD. So run that one around. Let's see what we can get out of that, okay? Send it out there. It's, again, hashtag SIPD. Social interaction, physical distancing. Because, you know, you can still like tell people, like if you're riding by a friend's house on your bicycle and you decide that you would like to just check in on them, see how they're doing. Well, you have, a lot of us have these great interaction tools like text messaging and all that. You can text them ahead of time and say, hey, I'm going to be riding by your bike. I'm going to be riding my bicycle by your house at, let's say, you know, 3 o'clock this afternoon. And will you be home? And they will say yes or no. And they say, can I meet you in your driveway? And then you just stop and have a conversation. You know, share your experiences, share what you need to share to be more socially active, because social activity is good for your mental health. So let's do that. Let's remember that. So that's my beginning of my show. I'm working on this. I'd like to talk a little bit more about it. I found an article from Psychology Today that talks about let's aim for physical rather than social distancing. So I'm not the only one thinking about this, okay? The professionals are thinking about this too, but this is definitely something that you want to think about. So so anyway, this gentleman is, let's see, who is this? This is Kenneth E. Miller, PhD, and he's talking about the refugee experience, all right? Because that's kind of what it's like. So it starts out, amidst the calls of nearly every country for social distancing, the most powerful tool we have known to spread to slow the spread of coronavirus, one important fact gets lost. We are fundamentally social beings, and social distancing carries a heavy psychological price tag. This in particular is true for people who live on their own. But we can struggle with emotional impact of isolation and, at its first cousin, loneliness. All right. So anyway, this is from Psychology Today. I recommend that you Google that if you have the ability to do so, and check and see what's going on as far as that goes. So, hey, Jed, how you doing? I see Jed has sent us a post. If Fran could check that out, that would be great.
I have.
Oh, you have already. Okay.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Sure. I think this kind of hits where I wanted to talk about right away. I wanted to talk about the whole psychological effects of social distancing.
It's actually something else, but it's a safety thing. So mm-hmm. if you it's up to you if you want to talk about that thing now or if you want to continue with what you're talking about.
Let me continue. We're going to go on to the next subject that I have here. And this is...
So hold that thought, Jed.
We're going to get to you. We're not going to forget you. And thank you so much for listening in. We really appreciate that. So the next piece I have here is something that someone sent to me just about a week ago. And it was more than a week ago. Anyway, in a global health emergency, the bicycle shines. The subtitle is, as the coronavirus forces changes in transportation, some cities are building bike lanes and protecting cycling shops. Here's why this makes sense. So anyway, this is coming from a British site, I do believe. It's called City Lab. If you're looking to find more information, that's citylab.com. As COVID-19 rages, almost half of the world's population is under some form of restricted movement. In a bid to slow the spread of coronavirus, people must stay home aside from strictly limited essential trips for food and medicine and a daily outing for exercise. We all need to comply with the restrictions to bring this life-threatening virus under control. I believe the best way to keep a safe distance from others when we do is by walking and cycling. So, and I can also, you know, give a big thumbs up on that. Big tip of the cycling cap, big thumbs up for that. Many experts view cycling as a safe way to avoid crowded public transportation systems, and the citizens in a number of world cities appear to agree. In New York, cycling spiked 52% over the city's bridges after social distancing protocols were put in place. In Chicago, bike share use doubled in early March. In Dublin and London, advocates are offering support to new riders who are taking to the streets in droves. Cycling can help communities in food deserts access shops that they are farther away than a walk away. It speeds the delivery of food and medicine for households without a car or those who are quarantined at home. And it helps people avoid car trips, cutting air pollution and freeing up public transit for those who absolutely need it. So cycling, and this article just keeps going on and explaining a little bit more about this. But yeah, we have this great global health emergency. We're all like shaking our heads and going, oh, I've had enough. I understand. I get it. I totally get it. But here we have the bicycle out saving the world. Once again, the bicycle, the simplest form of transportation other than walking. And here we are. It's definitely much more efficient. You can go further with it. If you do live in a section of town where, you know, all you have are convenience stores that are within reach of you, you can now hop on your bicycle and ride a couple more miles outside of that and get to maybe a larger store that has the availability of what you need in order to continue living. By the way, I have to throw this out. This is just a side note here. If you're a hoarder of toilet paper, and you think that you have enough to last you the next 3 years because you were really smart and you went out and hoarded your toilet paper, could you please share some? Okay, let's think about that. Maybe you only need 2 years supply instead of 3 years supply. I see these people walking out of stores. Their baskets are filled with toilet paper. What are you doing with that? What in the world could you do with that? I tried hot sauce on it. It doesn't taste that good. So, you know, it certainly isn't the way to go. So make sure that you, like, you know, share your toilet paper if you have extra toilet paper. That's an okay thing. And stop hoarding it. Please stop hoarding it. There are people that actually need to go out on their weekly shop and they need to buy toilet paper for their houses. So, you know, let them have toilet paper there. This is ridiculous. It's the most absurd thing I have seen is the hoarding of the toilet paper. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's it. A little side note there. Okay. So we'll move on that one. So I've got a few other things here that are on my list, quite a few other things that are on my list. My next one is, if I can just figure out where, here it is. So how you can better support bicycle shops, event organizers, and cycling nonprofits. COVID-19 has devastated small businesses and organizations. Here's what the cycling community needs. And this came from Bicycling Magazine, once again. A slew of spring rides, races, tour vacations have all been canceled or postponed indefinitely. Big shout out to the Farm to Fork Fondo, because I know that they just kind of pushed theirs further, deeper into the year. And we're probably going to be seeing those swing back into effect, I think, in August, I believe, is when we're coming back in with that. Big shout out to Renegade Sports, Tyler Wren, and all the folks up there at the Farm to Fork Fondo. So, but, you know, that's what's going on. So what we have here also, nonprofits have been forced to shuttle services and fundraisers. Indoor cycling studios have laid off most of their staffs. I'm one of those. Or they've cut pay. I'm also one of those. While cycling has surged in popularity and bike shops have been declared essential services in several regions with the lockdown orders, San Francisco and New York City, for example, many of those shops are also struggling to provide service with reduced staff and capacity while ensuring proper hygiene and safety protocols. We stopped by a bicycle shop the other day, and a big shout out to our friends Steve and Deb at Bicycles East in Glastonbury, and they had a sign that said, please stay 20 feet away from the store. Call us first. We will bring your bicycle out, because they are still fixing bicycles. They're very busy, which is good. That's a good thing. But they just don't really want you to get too close to the building. If you could please, you know, not do that. So anyway, we were able to get Deb's attention and got her to come out and have a few words with us while we were there, just so we could, you know, say hi and all. And I know she's been very, very active on Facebook, so we're seeing a lot of comments from her. And big shout out to Steve and Deb, who are keeping their sanity as well. We hope they're keeping their sanity. Think about this. Not only do they live together, but they work together too. I want you to wrap your brain around that one for a little while. That takes an amazing amount of patience and dedication. That's impressive. That's definitely very, very impressive. So anyway, so there's a lot of things that are being changed and canceled and moving on to different time slots. There's just a whole bunch of that going on right now. And it's very, very, very sad to see. But I want you to really think about your small businesses that are still open and are still alive. They're not getting their essential services, many of them are. And because of that, they've decided to stay open so they can help you in some way. Obviously, the bicycle, I mean, with an increase of 52% in New York City alone, the bicycle shops are rocking right now. They're very busy. They are behind. Be patient with them, please, because this is where they're at, you know, and it's like prime season for them. And we also have this situation that we're dealing with. So please be patient with them. You know, say something nice to them when you talk to them. I'm a big advocate of dropping off your favorite beverage or their favorite beverage to them. But of course, they're going to have to clean that all up really good before they touch it. So want to be a little cautious about that sort of thing. Or, you know, just check in with them first to make sure that's okay. But they certainly could use a lot of love right now. So, and you want to also, you want to love your physician too, because I have Fran here, and she's, there you are. Yeah. And, you know, she is still continuing to keep her office open. She's continuing to keep her employees employed. And that's a good thing. With her office, she's moved on to a more of a telemedicine direction, but she still sees patients. People still want to come in and see her. So everybody masks up. Everybody's cool about it. That's great. and you know, she's still continuing to operate. And on the other side of that, I am actually delivering her supplements to her patients who do not want to come in. If I have a good day, I haven't had this chance yet because we've had rainy weather whenever I've had to do a delivery, I'm going to do it on my bike. Hey, I get a bike ride in and I get to do something good for Fran's office and her patients are happy and you know, it all works out. So maybe you know a business that is open that has this situation and you might want to go talk to them about, hey, do you need an alternative delivery system? I have a bicycle. I'm very fit. I can go wherever you want me to go. Just set me up. Give me a range. Give me a, you know, whatever it is, the radius that you have that you can physically do, and become a delivery service. And just, you know, donate your services. Be good. Be good about it. It's really a good thing to do. So that would be something that you can do to help your bicycle shops, event organizers, and cycling nonprofits. As far as the event organizers go, stay in contact with them. Make sure that you tell them that you'll be very happy to support them next year if their event has been completely canceled and they're not going to do it till next year. You know, just reassure them that you're still there, you're still listening, and you're going to help and support them next year, and then sign up early next year when the opportunity comes. You know, just make sure you get that, get your registration in, get all signed up. As an event organizer myself, I can tell you that it's extremely important to get that early sign up. So do that. Make sure you get the sign up in there. If there's going to be any kind of a problem or a change in the date or whatever, I'm sure that they will be very accommodating as far as that goes. So don't forget about the fact that, you know, the world still goes around and things are still happening in the world and there's still a lot of people in need. And if the event is actually connected to some sort of a group that is a nonprofit group and needs your support, don't forget about them. If you are, we're planning on doing the ride and had the finances set aside to do the ride and we're now your ride got canceled, contact them, find out where the fundraiser was that they were, you know, or you might know by the information that you have, and then find out what the organization is that maybe needs the help and take your entry fee and give it to them and let them still get the support that they need. Because the nonprofits are out there and they're all struggling. This is a tough time right now. So you want to help them out. Yeah, it's a little bit of a soapbox, but you know, I think this is something that you can do. You're a bike rider. Maybe what you'll do is you'll say, hey, in the month of April, I'm going to ride 500 miles. And in that month, I'm going to take for every mile that I ride, I would like to give a dollar to XYZ organization.
And indoor miles count. So Zwift trainer, find a way to calculate it. If you're on Zwift, that calculates it for you. So any of your apps, those miles count too.
Absolutely. So, and then maybe you could get your friends to, you know, maybe Venmo you some contributions to encourage you to raise that money for that organization while you ride your bike. How about that? It's like Jed gave me three exclamation points. Thanks, Jed. Yeah. And of course, you know, one of our favorite organizations, the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, very much so can all use your help. Everyone can use your help out there. So let's do this. Let's you know, take care of those that take care of us. That's a good thing. That's the beauty of all this. We got to look at the positive aspects of what we're dealing with here with this. You got to think positive, be positive, stay positive. Get out and ride your bike. I say it. How many times do I say it? Every day I say it. So it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Speaking of Jed, Jed sent us over a link and Fran has it up on her tablet. And, Fran, could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes.
Okay. She's working on it right now. I think she got lost in another message here somewhere, but she'll pop it up for you right now and we can see what it is there is that Jed is talking about. By the way, if you don't know about the cycling, the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, you should check them out online. Just look them up. You'll find them. You can Google them. You'll get there no problem. And you can see exactly what they do. Talk about kids on bikes. This is the ultimate kids on bikes in Connecticut. This is just the best program going to bring youth into bicycles. If I had this when I was their age, I would be a different person. I would still be a cyclist. I would still be a, you know, I mean, I live it and I breathe it and I believe in it. And for various reasons, obviously, I've been doing this show now for over 3 years. It's coming in on 4 years. Wow. I've been doing this show for a long time and I set it up. Actually, Fran helped me set this up. This is Fran's idea to help spread the good word of bicycling and cycling and what it's all about and how it can be good for you. So anyway. Moving on. Fran, what do you got?
Well, what Jed sent me, and now I'm having a difficult time finding the link.
Oh, okay.
I'm having trouble finding the link. So Jed, if you would resend that link, that would be great.
Yeah, I don't have it on my screen.
Because I can find the Potomac Peddlers website, but that specific article, I lost the link. So send that on over to me and I'll speak from it. But what the gist of it is, the Potomac Peddlers are a cycling group, and I believe they're in Maryland. But certainly, they're in Greater DC. They're in Greater DC. I should come over here and say hello. They're in Greater DC.
Stick your face in.
The president gave a statement. Oh, he's got it. There he is.
Okay. There we
go. So I'm going to put it up, and so I'll give you an idea. So it's a really interesting article that he wrote. It's on the president's page of the Potomac Peddlers, and he was interviewed by the Washington Post for an article that was covered how to safely and effectively keep moving and exercising. And there, you can read that article. But he also noticed that they had canceled their rides until further notice. And that this president, see if I can find the dude's name. He has a PhD and background in microbiology. So he has done work on studying and developing a vaccine. And he studies bacteria and viruses and stuff. Anyway, so what he talked about is the respiratory signature. And the respiratory signature is something that's very concerning. And it's very important to understand this if you're riding a bicycle. And especially if you're thinking you're going to go out riding with your friends. And so Ron and I ride together because we're essentially a quarantine cell. We live in the same house. We share the same air. We share the same germs. So we ride together and we obviously don't social distance from one another because we live in the same house. Right.
That's
and if you have a situation like that, that's fine. If you're living in a house with your children, with any family that you're constantly exposed to. Now, if anybody goes out and gets exposed to the virus and then needs to be quarantined, then you have to make decisions about keeping yourself separate from each other within the house. But at this point, Ron and I are sharing space and therefore sharing germs. We're not distancing from each other. So we ride together and we don't worry about being in each other's respiratory signature. If you ride with someone who is who you're not sure, you're not in the same quarantine cell with them. So say you decide you're going to ride with a couple of friends and you keep your ride to five or less people. If you ride behind them, you're within their respiratory signature. And the respiratory signature is something when you exhale, when you laugh, when you talk, and when you cough and sneeze, anything that's hanging out in your nose, mouth, and tonsils can come out. And there's pollen, there's mucus and bacteria that live in your system. That you have, you know, commensals that I always talk about. There's, bacteria, viruses, fungus, and stuff that just lives in there and doesn't really bother us until they overgrow, or sometimes they don't even bother us at all. Those are called commensals. So they live in there. But also, if, as we know, this coronavirus can be carried and you can be asymptomatic. So you can be passing it without realizing it. So unfortunately, if you are in the draft of someone who is breathing, they're simply breathing and they're breathing hard. They're not breathing like they're, they're sitting around. They're breathing, they're sucking wind because they're
you're drafting them. So there's a big respiratory signature there. So if your lungs are working hard, you're exhaling through your mouth, your nose opens up, and things are coming out of your nose and mouth. And you may be chatting with your riding partner. But so the respiratory signature is not just your standard 6-foot sphere, but there's a comet-shaped trail that's behind you. So you're basically in their respiratory draft. So that's why they chose to cancel the group rides until further notice, until, you know, it's the federal and local levels give us okay to be on group rides again. So if you're in somebody's respiratory signature and you're not in their quarantine cell, you don't know if they're carrying coronavirus. So so that's why it's not a great idea to it's probably not a great idea to do pace lines. And if you're going to ride with lots of other people, you really have to be far away from them.
You know who it is that you're pace lining with. That's the key.
And the other piece,
if they're in your cell, then that's fine.
So one way to do that is you just don't ride with anybody that you don't live with. And not everybody is doing that. People are going for rides with people that they don't live with. If you do that, then maybe you want to go with just one other person or in very small groups so that you're not riding in their slipstream, and because you just don't know. And another thing you might want to consider, it's not fun, but you want to consider riding with a mask, and then you're going to be less likely to breathe in something that's coming out of somebody's mouth. The safest thing to do, unfortunately, if you want to be absolutely, utterly safe, is to ride alone. The second safest thing to do is to ride only with people that you live with. And obviously, if you live, you're still going to be sharing germs. It is not as safe to ride with people that you don't live with, that you're not already sharing germs with. I mean, there's a mental health trade-off here, of course, because, you know, when you're not able to ride with other people, there's that mental health trade-off. But I mean, if you're being absolutely pristine about following the recommendations, you have to ride by yourself, or you only ride with your quarantine cell.
And because, of course, the other thing is that you can ride indoors also.
Oh, of course.
And of course, yeah. If you go to our friends at Wahoo, who have been very kind to us along the years, you'll find that they're pretty much sold out on trainers for a while. So if you need to get a trainer, because this is going to happen for a while, I would suggest getting something into your cart soon. But anyway, little shout out to the folks down at Wahoo and what they're doing and the great trainers that they supply.
So yeah, that's the issue. I mean, as I said, if you want to be absolutely pristine, you either ride with yourself or you ride with your quarantine buddy. If you ride with people who are not in your quarantine cell, even if they're your friends and you know they're not sick, you're taking a chance. And unfortunately, the respiratory signature is behind them. So if you're drafting them, you're going to be more likely to hit that. And if you're next to them, there's still a respiratory signature around them. It's so unfortunate, and it's really hard. But that's the issue.
Right. Very good. Well, thanks, Fran. That's great. This is, I need a little space over here.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you. All right. I'm going to scoot back in. So anyway, great sound advice. Thank you, Jed, for sharing that. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate everything that you do. Another thing that I will point out to people, I'm going to hold this up. This is my little coffee mug right here, and you will see that there's another charitable organization that could use some help right there. That is your Bike Walk Connecticut group. So please feel free to check in with them. You can check in with my friends at BCCO in Hartford. And obviously you've heard them on the show with us in the past, where we have, you know, interviewed them and heard about what they're doing to in the streets of Hartford. There's a group in New Britain called Bike New Britain, also doing the same thing. There's one in New Haven. Almost all of the bigger cities have these support systems for people on bicycles, to get people on bicycles that are less advantaged than others are. So it's really you know, that's what you could, maybe it's, this is a, we have to repurpose our existence on our bicycles. And I think this is a great way to do it. So let's dedicate the month of April. And if you don't want to do the month of April, definitely the month of May. The month of May is bike month nationally. And it is, it would be a really, really good time to push your efforts towards riding for something you really, really believe in. And helping that organization out. I just an idea. You know, I'm just trying to think of ways to get people motivated, keep them out on their bikes, because I know you guys are, you know, you're going nuts. We're all going nuts. We understand that. But let's figure out what we can do to take care of that. I want to also talk about something else, which came to me while Fran and I were out riding yesterday. I thought, you know, this is a great time. So you're riding by yourself. Obviously, it's a good year. A lot of people are riding on trainers, and trainers are wonderful, but they do miss out on some of the skills that you would get if you were out actually riding on the road. So if you are unable to ride on the road and you are able to dust off those old rollers that have been hanging in the garage for a long time, and I just dusted mine off the other day, this is a great time to get back on the rollers, all right? Because what the rollers do is they teach you how to ride an incredibly straight line. You have no choice, all right? The trainer does not do that for you. The trainer, if you're, you know, hooked up to a wattage meter and you can watch the wattage and change as far as smoothing out your pedal stroke and all that, it's great. It's a great machine. It's a great tool. But nothing makes you ride your bike straighter than riding on the rollers. Boy, oh boy. It's like riding, sort of kind of like riding on ice. That will also keep you very consistent. But I don't recommend that either. And we don't really have any ice right now, so we're not gonna play that game. But anyway, dust off the old rollers. You know, maybe your neighbor's got a set of rollers, because, you know, they used to ride back in the days, you know, when I was racing my bike, which is back in the 70s and 80s, and they actually, that's what we used. You know, we had trainers, but the trainers were not so great. And the rollers definitely taught you a lot more. You know, I got to the point of my rollers where I could actually ride without my hands on the bars. I could get out of the saddle and climb. You have to change your stroke a little bit to do it, but I could do it. And then my famous one was, and I don't know if I'm going to have to practice before I post this one, but I could take my shirt off and put it back on again. And that, when you start doing stuff like that and you're doing that on your rollers, you're really learning how to focus on riding your bike in very skillfully. Okay. So let's say you can get outside. All right. And this is what Fran and I were talking about yesterday, because here we are, we're out on the road. We have to, you know, Pedaling Ron is a, you know, I'm a road with names, not numbers kind of guy, but you have to use a numbered road every now and then to get to the back roads, which I love to ride on so much. So when you do, you get out on these state roads, and the state roads are, they are definitely busier and not great, but they have something that the other roads, not all the other roads have. They have lines, and they have a center line down the middle of the road. I don't recommend that you ride out there unless that state road is completely deserted. We'll talk about that in a bit. Or they have a line on the side of the road, which is a white line, which gives you a shoulder. I want you to start working on riding the white line. Okay. Yeah. Tricky, huh? So anyway, it is tricky. It's hard to do. When I'm teaching people how to ride the white line, I talk to them about looking ahead 12 to 15 feet at that line. Don't look down. When the minute you look down, you start getting all wiggly. Okay. You want to look 12 to 15 feet ahead of you. You want to get a good focus on that, and then try to just keep your wheels on the white line. You'll be able to glance down every once in a while and see that you're still there. Back in the days when I was training a lot of young riders, juniors especially, in the summertime, and they were out of school, so they're riding their bikes a lot, and they'd come into the bike shop and they go, "Ron, I'm bored." And I'd say, "Well, what are you doing today? What's on your schedule?" And they'd say, "Well, I'm supposed to ride like 30 miles today, and I just can't get motivated to do it." And I'd say, "Look, we have a road out here, Route 89. It is a state road. It is very lightly traveled. And I will tell you that 30 years ago, it was much lighter traveled. So this was really easy to send people out to it. But I'd send them out to a state road that was lightly traveled. And I'd say, "I want you to do the white line drill." And I explained to them what it was. And in the summertime, when the paint gets all cooked by the sun, the paint actually gets chalky on the white lines, and the chalkiness will actually turn your tire a lighter shade. It'll actually make a little bit of a white spot on your tire. I said, I want you to go out and ride the white line until your tires are white. And they look at me and go, what? And I say, just do it. Just go out and do it. What it did was it gave somebody something to focus on. They could look at it and they could improve their skills, because what do you have to do to ride a white line? First of all, you have to be looking way up ahead of yourself. Same thing when you're on the rollers. You don't look down when you're on the rollers. You look down on the rollers, you see where you're going to fall, because that's exactly what's going to happen. You look, you focus head, you relax the elbows, you drop the shoulders, you get really comfortable on your bike, and then you just spin along and keep it going that way. So whenever we would get to a road with a number yesterday, I would immediately focus on that white line and try to ride on that white line. The only problem is then when I would do that, I would tend to sometimes ride away from Fran, because I would get so involved in that, I would leave her a little behind, and that's not very nice to do. But anyway, it's a great drill. Here's another great drill, and this is an opportunity that we have right now, a great opportunity. Major universities are closed right now. Office parks, many of them, are closed right now or not very active. I want you to think about, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I want you to think about working on your cornering skills. This is a great opportunity. There's no cars. You don't have to worry about diving into a corner and being on the wrong side of the road because you carved the line wrong. All right? You don't want to carve the line wrong. You want to learn how to do that and how to correct that. But the best way to do that is practice, practice, practice. Did I mention practice? You got to practice. And if you do it over and over and over again, then what you will do is you will end up getting a lot better at it. You'll learn how to carve the lines. You'll learn the tangents. You'll learn how to become more efficient as you're going through a corner. One of my favorite things to do is to go out on a group ride where there are people that are maybe not as experienced as I am. And then if I dive into a corner, turn around and look and see how much distance I just put on them. Just because I didn't pedal through it, I didn't do anything different. I just knew how to read the tangent, cut the tangent, and go through it. So this is the time to learn these things. You can't ride with people right now. So go out and learn on your own. And I'll tell you, you don't have to be going fast to do this. This is not about speed. This is about skill. And I am a really, really big skill over speed guy. I really think that if you learn the skills and get better at the skills, the speed will just come naturally. So if speed is your main goal and what you're looking for and what you want to do, shut that part of your brain off right now, okay? We're looking for skills. Let's improve our skills. So then when we do get back out in that group ride, and we are, you know, able to see all of our friends again and not have to give them high elbows or, you know, or whatever it is that we're doing, or, you know, jazz hands or whatever you need to greet them, you can actually have some skills that you worked on while you weren't riding together, and it makes it a lot safer for you to ride together. So this is all really good stuff. You gotta take everything that we have going on right now and turn it into a positive direction. What can I do to make this situation, which I'm not very happy with, better? And how can I come out of it happier? Well, you always come out happier when you ride your bike, so that's a good thing. You can't miss on that one. That's a beautiful thing. But, you know, these are good things to do. So there are, if you're looking for cornering skill work, there are things. I found a British site, which is called road.cc. I believe this is a British site. Anyway, there's a whole story here on, it's basically 11 tips for cornering, how to corner. Okay, this comes from people who have been doing this for years. So starting with number one on this, assess the corner. On your approach to a corner, you need to gauge how much speed you can carry through it, how tight it is, can you see around it, what is the road surface like, are there any drain covers, how wide is the road, what are the conditions, is there traffic, okay? And you can just pedal normally around shallow bends, but you need to adjust your speed and technique for the tighter corners, especially if the road surface or conditions are poor. So assess the road in front of you. Second thing on the list, if you're on a road bike, get your hands on the drops for tight corners because this is your most stable riding position. Locating your center of gravity, adding some weight to the front of your bike, hold the handlebars firmly, but not in a white knuckle grip. So we definitely want to look at that. Do your braking early. You've probably heard you should do all your braking before the corner and none while you're actually in the corner. And that is pretty much agreed upon by a lot of people. Occasionally, you might have to tap that brake, but you will lose a certain level of control if you do that while you're in the corner. So try to anticipate the speed before you hit the corner, not while you're halfway into the corner. Do your braking early. Change gear. If it's a tight corner and you're going to have to stop pedaling, use the last few seconds of the approach to shift into the gear you'll want when you exit. Right. So you're going into it really, really tight and you know that you're going to have a little less speed because maybe you had to tap the brakes pretty hard. Back down a gear or two so that when you come out of it, you can then accelerate and keep on the way with your ride. Spot your exit. Look where you want to go. Keep your eyes to the point where you want to exit the corner and your body will naturally adjust your leaning, steering, and line to ensure that's where you want to go. It can be difficult, but if you're nervous about not making it around the bend and ending up in the ditch, try not to focus on that ditch because that's exactly where you're going to find yourself. That's great advice. Wide apex wide. The classic line is to go wide before the corner. Cut the apex and then go wide again as you exit. This lengthens the corner so you don't have to ride at such a tight angle, allowing you to carry more speed through in and out of the other side. Clearly, you have to be very careful. So wide apex wide. And there's a few figures here. Lean over. You actually lean as your corner. Let your bike do the turn. Don't steer your bike into the corner. Let the lean of the bike do the turn for you. The bike can ride way better than you can. Just remember that, okay? The bike will teach you how to ride, but the bike can ride way better than you can. Number 8, sort out your crank position. Yes, if you are going to coast through the corner, make sure that pedal is up, not down. You don't want to clip a pedal going through the corner. If you are pedaling through the corner, make sure you don't angle it too much or you will tap a pedal. Bicycle racers know this one. We've all got scuffed out pedals from many years of smacking pedals, but still riding through it. I used to watch a friend of mine hit his pedals in almost every crit and yet never went down because he was able to, it was just a very light tap. He knew exactly where to be. Don't overlap wheels. If you're with another rider, please don't do that. We know that. Number 10 is to relax. Being relaxed is easier said than done, but your cornering will definitely improve when you can stay cool, move fluidly, and think clearly. Okay. And number 11, practice makes perfect. What did I just say? Practice, practice, practice. We got to practice this. So these are the great things that you can do while you're riding by yourself or only riding with another friend because that's the only person that you can ride with. You want to practice those skills. That's what I want to hear about. I want you to send me over a note on bicycletalk1@gmail.com, which is my email address for this, or you can just address it on Facebook and we can see how your skills are improving over the weeks. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. What have you learned? What have you learned? All right. Very good. So this is it. We're running out of time and we've got a few other things I would have mentioned, but I will put them on the next week. Remember, we are broadcasting live right here on Facebook Live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. And anyway, you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle color, culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live, well, that's Facebook Live now, and like to send a comment, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also shoot us an email, or you can also check us out on Bicycle Talk on Facebook if you're seeing it right now.
And you can comment on this video.
And you can comment on this video, too. And you can share the video with your friends if you don't mind. That'd be really helpful because then we can get the good word out there. Let's see here. What else? So we will be Facebook Live again next Monday at 11 a.m. This show will broadcast on Wednesday at WHUS Radio at 11 a.m. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs. Thank you for listening.